Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. This is how he ended. This is towards the end of his letter. He said, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Both 1st and 2nd Thessalonians ended with greetings or salutations. Now, sometimes when we study Scripture and we go to that part and we say, this is just a customary way of ending letters. And we do that, right? We do the same thing when we end our letter. We say, God bless you, or may the Lord, have a blessed day and all that. And often when we get to that part of the epistles, we just brush it aside. We just read it through and something like, oh, it's just a customary thing. What else can we learn from that? There's not much to learn. So we read the last 2-3 verses and proceed to the next book that we want to study. However, if you just think for a moment, just all Scripture is inspired by God. That means all parts of Scripture is inspired by God. I believe that this being part of the inspired Word of God, there are things that we can learn. There are things that we can, insights or principles to live by that we can learn. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for rebuke, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Maybe as we look at the final verses of Paul's letter, maybe we can learn some instructions for righteousness. Maybe we can be corrected. Maybe there's not doctrine there at all, but definitely there will be insights for living. Practical insights that will be helpful for us as we live and serve the Lord. So let's look closely at Paul's final words in his letter to the Philippians and learn practical insights for Christian living. Let me read that part. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. There are certain features in these verses that had caught my attention. I'd like to share those with you. Because from these features of the way Paul made his greeting and the content of that particular salutation, we learn great things. We learn insights. So I'd like to share three things from this. Practical insights from Paul's greetings. First, take note, there's a personal nature of his greeting. Paul's greeting has a personal touch to it. He said, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. He could have addressed the greeting to the whole church as a body, greet all saints. But yet he chose to say, greet every saint. It's interesting to note that the word saint there, hagios, in Greek, appears in a singular form only in this letter. There are other parts of the New Testament where the word can be seen about 60 times in the ESV, but the word is always plural. It's always saints. And yet here, Paul decided to use a singular, and it is preceded by the word every. In chapter 1 of verse 1, we learn that Paul's letter was addressed to the saints in Philippi, to the deacons and overseers or elders. Now here in this verse, there is a hint that if Epaphroditus was to give the letter to a particular person, and it is to be read in church. It's not a letter that he has to give to one person, and after he reads, pass it on to another, and pass it on to another, and pass it on to another. The idea that is being implied here is that it has to be read by someone, well, maybe an elder, it was not mentioned, or one of the deacons, but it has to be handed to somebody in church, and it has to be read to the church. Maybe, just maybe, that person could probably be the one he mentioned as true companion in chapter 4, verse 2. So when he was entreating Eugene, entreating Syntyche to agree in the Lord, he asked this, he said this in verse 3. Yes, I also ask you, very specific, I ask you, true companion, help these women. So it could be that that person was the one handed and asked to read the letter. So towards the end, he was giving an instruction to that person. Greet every saint. Greet every saint. While in some epistles, the greetings of Paul were more individual and specific. Romans 16 is an example of that. There are mentions of specific names. But here in the book of Philippians, while he was addressing every saint, he didn't mention any names. There's no reason, actually. It's uncertain why. It was not explained. There are many commentators who have made some speculation on why it is, but I don't want to dwell on that. The fact is, when he said every saint, I believe that Paul has every individual in the church in mind. Because Paul was addressing the church on a personal level. It's so easy to address a church as a body, you know, very impersonal. It's a body, it's an organization, it's a gathering and all, and you just say you all, hello everyone, and all that. But I believe at this point, Paul had in mind individuals. In fact, when he mentioned Euodia and Syntyche, that proves that he's addressing individuals who have troubles in the church. And not only those who have troubles, but also those who have been a blessing to many. Paul's love for the church is down to a personal level. Had Paul been to the church himself, I can imagine that he was going around greeting everyone. Hi, Rainier. Hi, Wise. Hello, Abe. Hello, Kata. How are you? You know. Hey, Michael. God bless you. Simple things like that. But the word greet here is very interesting. The word greet in its original actually literally means to enfold with the arms. That's the original meaning of the word. It means to embrace. It means to show someone that you accept him. To show someone that you care for him. To show someone that you are in the same situation with him, that you are, you know, you are enjoying the same characteristics. That is the meaning of the word greet. The preacher's homiletical commentary said this: salutations or greetings are tokens of personal interest and living fellowship which should not be lightly esteemed. The apostolic salutations teach that the Christian religion does not make men unfriendly and stubborn, but courteous and friendly. That's how significant greeting is. The ESV Study Bible Commentary also said this: the exhortation to greet every saint reinforces the personal nature of Paul's communication and shows that the truth of the letter were to be lived out by real people in the real world. It is not an abstract that should be taken by the body as a whole, but it is a reality that individuals have to apply and live out. So that is one. The personal nature of Paul's greeting is something that we can think of and ponder. Are we that personal in our Christian life? We come to church, we desire to have fellowship, but are we personal in our dealing with the brothers and sisters? Do we care for individuals in a personal level of their life? Are we concerned with what's going on with the brothers and sisters in church? These are questions that are worth pondering if we are to apply the Word of God in our lives. A second thing that I've noticed here and I'd like to share with you is the borderless nature of Christian unity. There are four sources of greetings that Paul included in this particular section. Four levels, four sources. Paul himself said, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. So Paul's personal greeting. And then he said, the brothers who are with me greet you. Then all the saints greet you. And probably all the saints here would include the saints in Rome. And then he made a special mention of the saints of Caesar's household. Four different groups. Now, if four different groups are sending their greeting to Philippi, and these four different groups are saying to the Christians in Philippi, we embrace you, brothers. We accept you, brothers. We are one with you, brothers. It just brings out that emphasis that there should be no division in the church. Our church should not be limited to the four walls of this building or the four walls of the other building. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord in other places. And that's why it's just a great privilege for me and for us here as a church when the church in Living Springs came to us and seek our help to help them with all the troubles that they've been going through when their pastor stepped down. Because even then, even in that situation, we have seen that there is no border. There should be no separation between like-minded churches. Very true. So our greetings to one another should not be limited to us. We should be thinking during the week, for example, we should be thinking of other people in other churches, like-minded churches, I would say. We all came from different churches when we came to Grace West, but there are people from the different churches that we can still continue building relationship because we are one with them. Our concerns should not be limited to our church alone, to the people in our church alone, but also to the people that we know belonging to other churches. We should be concerned for them. We should be praying for them. We should be greeting them. Because that is the nature of our unity. We are one in Christ. I can imagine the brothers who were with him expressed their eagerness to embrace the saints in Philippi. Timothy was definitely with him. That's what he said at the start of the letter. Epaphroditus was there. Of course, he was waiting for the letter to be finished because he was carrying it to Philippi. Probably Tychicus was there as well within the company because he also took the letter to Colossae. And probably Onesimus was there because he was sending Onesimus back to Philemon. Some commentators said that even Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, was with him at this time. I could almost imagine these people when he was writing to them, and he was telling, "Hey, Paul, could you include my greeting to Philippi? Can you greet them for me? Can you tell them that, you know, we love them? You know, so all the brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints could refer to the believers in Rome. Paul may have been visited by the believers in Rome, because at this time he was the kind of prison that he had is he was under house arrest. He was allowed to receive visitors, and the churches would come and visit him. So in these visits, Paul may have introduced Epaphroditus. When they come, "Oh, this is Epaphroditus, he comes from Philippi, he represents the church in Philippi," and that gives them the idea, "Oh, there's a church in Philippi, oh, good, that's good. Would you greet them if you have the chance? Would you send our greetings?" I believe that they would have said that to Paul, because Paul will not just make this up. This is inspired. Paul made a special mention of the saints in Caesar's household. The phrase may refer to relatives of the emperor. It may, but there is no proof that members of Caesar's household actually were the ones who were saved during Paul's imprisonment in Rome. Most probably, this would be those who worked in the imperial palace. Soldiers, prison guards, servants, scribes, the domestic workers, officers in the emperor's court whom Paul had contact with and who had been saved through his sharing of the gospel. To attach a special emphasis on the saints of Caesar's household, I see significance in many aspects. One, it is a testimony of the power of the gospel. You see, Nero, the emperor at the time, he was very popular with the lower class Roman citizens during his reign. And he is also commonly associated with unrestricted tyranny, extravagance, religious persecution, and debauchery. That's what Nero is known for. To be in the employ of Nero, you have to be very careful and to be very watchful, because at the whim, he could have you beheaded. Especially when he sees that you're a Christian, he knows that you're a Christian, because he was famous for his religious persecution. So we all know, so probably we are familiar with the fact that it was Nero who burned, you know, Jerusalem in AD 60. So for people in his household to be converted to Christianity testify of the courage, not only of Paul, but of these people, and the power of the faith in Jesus Christ. And I would see that when Paul emphasized, especially those of Caesar's household, highlights the fact that the gospel is powerful. It was able to penetrate into the probably strongest fortress of evil in the time of Rome, at that time in Rome. So the greetings from Paul and the three groups of believers mentioned highlights the borderless nature of the unity of the saints. Wherever they are, wherever they come from, they are saying to the Philippian Christians, "We embrace you, brothers. We care for you, brothers." That's what they're saying. And lastly, the last verse, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." So the third point, bound by the grace of Jesus Christ. A third fit here. You see, Paul has come full circle in his letter. He began his letter with a prayer, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ended his letter with the same. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It is as if that his exhortations to them is encapsulated in grace. It is wrapped with grace. It began with grace, it ended with grace, and in between, life powered by grace. Indeed, it is. That's Christian life. By grace, they were adopted to the family of God, every one of them, from Paul to the brothers with him, to the saints in Rome, to the saints in Caesar's household, to the saints or every saint in Philippi. It is by grace that they were saved, through faith. By grace, they are able to let their manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, in Philippians 1:27. By grace, they are able to overcome the fear of persecution, and not only the fear, but the persecution itself. By grace, they are able to overcome the division that is brewing in the church. By grace, they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. By grace, they can stand firm against the assault of the world, the flesh, and the devil. By grace, they are united in Christ Jesus with the oneness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, wherever they are, wherever they're from, whatever their background, as long as they are in Christ, they are one. Grace, the unmerited favor that God bestows to all whom He has chosen before the foundation of the world, those whom He had predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that grace is available for us today. It's the same grace that is available for us. The Philippians have already received the saving grace of God in Jesus, but Paul nevertheless desired that they know more of the sanctifying grace of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Maybe most of us here today, listening today, we know this already. There's nothing new about this grace. Probably you acknowledge that apart from this grace, you are nothing. And that's true. Many of us would be in that situation right now. Or maybe you're thinking that you are so familiar with this simple truth that it doesn't excite you to hear about it anymore. You've been hearing this again and again. What else is new? For those of you who think that way, let me ask you one thing. The question I'd like to pose before you is, how do you exhibit this grace? How do you demonstrate that you have this grace? How do you demonstrate that this grace is uniting you with other believers? How do you do that? The challenge for you probably is not understanding this grace, but the challenge for you is showing this grace, sharing this grace. So may I suggest a simple way to begin demonstrating the uniting grace of Jesus Christ within you? Greet every saint. It's simple. Greet every saint. When you come to church, make sure you go home, you are able to greet every saint. You have not just, hey, hello, hi. Show care or concern for every saint. During the week, You know, we are blessed today with the speed of communication. But let me ask you one thing. How many of you are concerned with the saints during the week to send them a simple message? Greeting them during the week. Simple thing. It's not rocket science, but the question is, are we doing it? For some of you, you're still wondering whether you have experienced this grace. You're not sure. What kind of grace is he talking about here? You want to know more, you desire to know more. Well, we in this church are open to questions. If you need help to understand those things, feel free to contact any one of us. The elders, the deacons, probably the person who has invited you to this church. Ask them about this grace in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest with your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You're confused, you're stressed, you're depressed, you're wondering, am I part of this? Well, Jesus said, come unto me, come. Learn from me, Jesus said, for I am gentle and lowly in spirit. So we are concluding our study in Philippians with this insight. Let me just conclude this way. It began with grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It ends with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in between, it is filled with grace and power of the Holy Spirit. That's Philippians for you. And actually, that is what Christian life is all about. It begins with grace. It ends with grace. It's all of grace.